Happy Time Change Sunday. You did it. You made it. This one's the easy one. Don't get the big head. You had an extra hour. Don't be all proud of yourself. I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. A couple things. One, somebody needs to tell Aaron I can hear him just fine when I'm back there. Number two, thank you for buying Alexandra a new phone. That's super cool. Number three, happy birthday to David Lasoya, 53 years old. You're an old man. Happy birthday to my little brother who turned 50 today. Anybody else have a birthday today? All right, then. You don't have to clap. You don't know my brother. That's cool. But I appreciate it. I'm sure he does, too. Question for you. I'm just curious. We're starting a new series today, and in my mind, I'm wondering if you can relate. Do any of you, or are any of you willing to admit that you have a war going on in your mind? Really? More than just me? Because there are times, if I'm honest, when there is this battle in my mind and it drives me crazy. Like, there's this thought of great faith, and then 5 seconds later, a thought of great fear. There's a thought of, I want to be really generous, and then a second later, a thought of, no, I better hold on to what I have. There's a thought of, I really want to trust God in this situation, and then a second later, there's a thought of, no, I need to take control of this situation. There's a thought of, I really ought to serve, I want to be a servant, and then there's a thought of, I ain't got time for that. Y'all have these thoughts, like these great thoughts of faith, and then the next minute, just anxiety and fear, and I'm crippled by it. Anybody, just me, can we just, there's a war going on in our minds. If you're a human being, you've got a battle in your mind. And most of life's battles, most of the battles you will face, you will win them or you will lose them up here. Our minds are battlefield. There are health battles and there are relationship battles and there are financial battles and there are emotional battles and there are spiritual battles, and most of them are won or lost by the way we think in our minds. Now, I've got some good news for you today. In fact, that's all I've got is good news. Anybody need some good news today? Yeah, we need some good news in our lives. And I've got some good news for you. And the good news is that God's word plus God's presence is incredibly powerful. God's word plus God's presence in your life has the power to renew your life and change the way you think. We are going to discover over the next few weeks this power to transform our mind. I've been telling people all morning, and I think you should tell somebody sitting next to you, you better get your mind right now. Let's just tell somebody you came in here with or you're sitting next to, you better get your mind right. Go ahead, tell them. Feels good to tell your mama that, doesn't it? You better get your mind right, mama. That's awesome. So over the next few weeks, we are going to dive into the mind of one of my heroes. His name is Paul. Now, Paul was one of the early followers of Jesus. Paul was an incredible man of faith. Paul wrote 14 of the 26 New Testament, that we call them books, but they're letters, 14 letters in the New Testament. He wrote them. But Paul, we kind of get it confused sometimes, like he's some spiritual giant and hero, and he is, but Paul is just like us. He's just like us. Paul wrote to his friends in Rome. He said, here's what I do, guys. I have a list of things that I hate, and those are the things I do. And I have a list of things that I want to do, but I can't seem to do them. Paul wants to do what's right, but he does what's wrong. He doesn't want to do what's wrong, but he ends up doing it anyway. Do you ever feel like that? This is the battlefield of the mind that we all have to face. And as Paul grows and matures, Paul learns and he shares with us some critical thoughts on how we can win that war, on how when we have those competing, contrasting, conflicting thoughts in our mind, how we can win that battle. And he wrote it down for us in a letter to his friends at a church called Corinth. And here's what he says. This is 2 Corinthians 10. For though we, Jesus followers, live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. Now, just want to be very upfront with you. This letter, these statements are just for Jesus followers, okay? Paul is talking directly, specifically to people who have made a conscious decision to follow Jesus, committed to doing things the way Jesus would do them. And so if that's not you, you don't have to do this. But if you do follow Jesus, he is saying, look, guys, we're different. We don't do things the way everybody else does them. We don't fit in to get in. We don't go along to get along. We're different. We have to do things differently than the world does. And he specifically starts talking about the way we win this war. He says, everybody else is going to think differently, but you as a Jesus follower, we don't think the way the world thinks. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons, they have divine power. Now that word power is the Greek word dunamos, and we get our word dynamite from that word. Paul is saying, we have these weapons that are divine and explosive in their power. They are beyond understanding how powerful they are. And we use them to demolish strongholds. Do you see this on Bible Vision right there? Y'all see it? We use these weapons to demolish strongholds. Now, Paul is literally talking about a stronghold. And if that's a strange word for you, it is for me too. So I had to do a little bit of research. And a stronghold is just a military building. I've got some pictures that Savannah's going to show us of some one reconstructed and then what they look still of. Some of them have survived and what they look like. A stronghold is a military base built right in the middle of a city. When Jesus was on trial in Jerusalem, he had to go to a place called the Fortress Antonia, which was a stronghold. And a stronghold existed for two reasons. One, to plant a presence, a military presence in the middle of a city so that if a fight broke out, you could easily send out soldiers to subdue it. Two, if you got in their way, they were going to bind you up, take you to the stronghold, lock you in the bottom floor, and hold you captive. And Paul is saying, you need to think of your mind like there are some strongholds in there, and the weapons that you and I as Jesus followers use, they are strong enough to destroy these giant, massive strongholds in our lives. He is saying that we have a great enemy. Never forget that, my friends. You have a great enemy, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to take everything he can that's good and take it from your life. And one of the ways he does that is he tries to build strongholds of deception in your mind so that one lie at a time you are deceived, and one lie at a time you are held captive by what you think. You can't trust anyone. You'll never succeed. You'll never amount to anything. No one loves you. God can't care about you. God won't forgive you. You'll always be broke. You'll never have a good marriage. You'll never win. One lie at a time, your great enemy tries to deceive you and build a stronghold in your mind. But Paul says, we demolish those arguments and every pretension, every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I just want to pray real quick. Lord God, I need your help teaching this clearly because this is such a complicated, personal, internal war that we fight. So help me to take these scriptures that you have given us and teach them plainly and simply and in a way that we can apply. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me give you the bottom line right up front. Here's the bottom line. My life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. I want that to marinate a little bit. I want you to think about that for a minute. That your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. This is why it's so important that you win the battle in your mind. Now, what's cool is that science has learned over the years and is teaching us today that many, if not most, of the problems that we face in life start up here. Relational problems start in the mind. Eating disorders start in the mind. Addiction starts in the mind. Many forms of anxiety start in the mind. Fear starts in the mind. Science has taught us that when we consistently think negative thoughts over and over, it chemically changes our brains. In fact, when we choose to consistently think negative thoughts over and over, we starve our brains of a vital chemical that our brains need to feel good. But when we choose to think positive, we get this something called a reward neurotransmitter. Sign me up. Maybe you know it as dopamine. When you think positive thoughts, your brain chemically releases dopamine. It's legal and it's good. God put it in there and it changes the chemistry of your brain and it changes the way you think. It's very, very powerful. Now, science has also taught us that the more you think about a thought, the easier it is to think about that thought. The more you think about a thing, the easier it becomes to think that thing. It's just called neural pathways. And we create pathways by the way we think. This is why it's so easy to get, quote, stuck in a rut. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you just think the same thing over and over and over again? It's because if you keep thinking the same thing, it just gets easier to keep thinking the same thing. And you create pathways in your mind. You can create a negative pathway that's toxic, or you can create a positive pathway that's healthy. And many of these problems that we face every day, science tells us are the result of toxic thinking, but Solomon knew this 3,000 years ago, y'all. The scripture's been telling us this for 3,000 years. Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in here, so is he. Solomon was right. The way we think in here is the way it happens out here. The life you currently have is a direct reflection of the thoughts you currently think. What you think determines who you become. Henry Ford, one of my favorite quotes, Henry Ford said, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're probably right. When your thoughts are toxic and you dwell on them, they hold you captive in a stronghold. If you just think you're always going to be a victim, you will always be a victim. If you think I will always be an addict, you will always be an addict. If you think I can never win, you will never win. If you learn to think I can overcome, then you'll overcome. If you learn to think things can be better, things will be better. If you start to think that God could make a way, you'll see God make a way. Now, I want to pause real quick, and I just want to tell you that this is not a smile and think happy thoughts series, okay? This is not a smile and laugh your way through life's problems and think happy thoughts series. If you want that kind of garbage preaching, I know what I said. You can go on the interweb and get all you want. There's plenty of that. That is not what we are talking about. This series is for warriors. Holding thoughts captive is for a fighter. It's not positive thinking. It's fighting a battle. This series is for those of you who are willing to do the hard, dirty, sweaty work of learning to think correctly, rewriting pathways in your mind. This series is for people who are willing to identify thoughts that are held up against God, take them captive, and replace them with something else. So I want us to just say this that's on Bible Vision together. Can we just say this out loud? You need to hear yourself say this. My life is a reflection of my thoughts. Let's say it again. My life is a reflection of my thoughts. What you think about is determining your life. It always manifests itself in your life. So we're going to do, I'm going to call it a thought audit. A thought audit. I want you just to think about this first one. I want you to give yourself a score. Worried, always worried is a 1. Peaceful, I'm always at peace is a 10. Give yourself a grade. Like when you wake up, does your mind drift to all the things that can go wrong? Does your mind drift to all the fear and dread and anxiety of what's coming up that day? Does your mind drift towards panic, or does it drift towards peace? Give yourself a score. How many of you have a score? Do you have a score? Anybody? Play my game with me. It's fun. Thank you. Do you have a score? All right, let's go to the next one. Negative, always negative is a 1. Positive, always positive is a 10. Do your thoughts drift toward assuming the worst or believing the best? Do your thoughts drift towards everything's going to hell, or do they drift towards God's got this? Do your thoughts drift towards I'm all alone in this, or do they drift towards God's got me in this? Got a score? Got a score? Got a score? All right. Let's look at the next one. Worldly. Always thinking worldly thoughts is a 1. Always thinking kingdom thoughts, Jesus' kingdom thoughts, is a 10. Does your mind drift towards things that are temporary and fleeting? If I was a real preacher, I'd say something like, do you think more about Facebook than you do the good book? That's a stupid statement. Hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Are you more concerned? I don't know why I said it. Are you more concerned about what people think about you or what God thinks about you? Is your mind more on things that will be burnt up forever or on things that will last forever? Do you have a score? Can you add those 3 numbers up? Matthew Collin is here. He could help us if you need some rudimentary math help. Do you have a score? How many of you have a score? Let's just do some confession. It's good for the soul. My score is lower than 15. Yeah, a bunch of us. Yeah. I think that's totally normal. I think a lot of us were afraid to raise our hands because we didn't want to admit that. Probably more than we're aware of. So what does this audit reveal to you about your thinking, about your thought patterns, and about your future? If your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thoughts, where is your life headed? If your life is a reflection of what you think about, what do you see? Well, I hope you see this, that you cannot have a peaceful life with a worried mind. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. And you cannot have a kingdom life with a worldly mind. And the good news is that God wants to and God can help you renew your mind. God wants to and God can help you win the war that wages in your brain. Listen to what Paul told the Roman church. He said in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Some translations use the word conform. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you, The way God transforms his people into brand new people is by changing the way they think. And then check this out. Then, once you have a different way of thinking, then you can learn how to know God's will. That's the question I get asked maybe most often as a pastor is, I want to know what God wants. Well, if you want to know what God wants, you stop conforming to the patterns of this world, you let God transform your mind and change the way you think, and then you're going to know. You can figure it out for yourself exactly what God's will for you is, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is what it means to stay off of those negative pathways, those destructive pathways, and create something new and healthy that's better for you. So you can conform or you can be transformed. And maybe conforming looks like this for you. It's just been one more bad day, so I get home and I take the same old path I've always taken and just start yelling at everybody. I get home and I take the same old path to the refrigerator. I get home and I take the same old path to the internet. I get home and I take the same old path to a substance. I get home and take the same old negative, destructive path I've always taken. That's conforming. Or you can be changed, transformed, made new. And so I'm going to ask our worship leaders, why don't you guys come up? I've just got two more things to talk about. If you're an encourager this morning, we've got some encouragers signed up this morning. If you would just come and sit on the front row, that'd be super helpful for me. Because I want to give you, in the last 4 or 5 minutes here, two things that you have to do to win the war in your mind, and there's just two things. One is to identify the biggest stronghold in your mind. Why don't you guys just sit on the front row? Thank you. Just identify right now in your mind. If you want to win the battle in your mind, just identify the biggest stronghold in your mind. Don't try to demolish all 48 of the strongholds in your mind, right? Just identify the biggest one, the one that keeps you up at night, the one that's there in the morning when you wake up, the one that's there all day long. Maybe you've had it your whole life, that stronghold that lies to you and tells you over and over. Just identify it. Do you have it? How many of you have that in your mind right now? You know what it is. Okay, right on. Now what I want you to do is give it a name. Name it. Because you need to be able to identify it and name it before you start doing battle with it. Maybe it's the I'm not good enough stronghold. Maybe it's the God can't love me because of what I've done stronghold. Maybe it's the I'll always be lonely stronghold. Maybe it's the no one will ever understand me stronghold. Maybe it's the I'm just always going to be a victim stronghold. Maybe it's the God can't use me stronghold. Give it a name. Like right now, give it a name. And then the second thing, if you're going to win the war with your mind, once you've identified the stronghold, you just name the truth that destroys that stronghold. Okay? You name the truth that destroys that particular stronghold, because Jesus said truth sets you free. It is truth that sets us free. It is truth that demolishes strongholds. Now, I don't know what yours is. But what I would suggest to you is that you just open up your Bible app and you just do a little search. It's so easy. Ask God for truth about anxiety. Ask God for truth about fear, truth about loneliness, truth about debt, truth about my anger, truth about my addiction. Just go to the Bible app, do a search, and look at the promises that God gives us. And whatever your stronghold is, whatever it's called, name the truth that destroys that stronghold. And Paul says that truth has divine power to demolish the stronghold that you've wrestled with, some of you maybe, for years. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't know if I can do that. Pastor, you don't know the thoughts that spin through my brain. That's a lot to ask. Maybe it is. But one thing I know for sure about you, if you follow Jesus, you've got everything you need. You have everything you need to win that battle. Everything. Peter said it like this: by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. If you follow Jesus, God has given you everything you need to win the war in your mind. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself, by means of his marvelous glory and his excellence. You've got everything you need. Everything you need to win the war, to demolish that stronghold. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something really old school, and it might make you uncomfortable, and that's okay. Because we're creating new paths, right? The reason we get so comfortable on a path is because we keep walking the path. And so maybe we need to get off of that path and walk something new. And so we're going to do something, well, it's really old school. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, we're going to ask you to respond. Like to move, to do something. Because here's what I know for sure. Some of you have already admitted it, but many of you need to. You are losing the battle in your mind. Your thoughts are taking your life in a direction you don't need to go. And one of the things that God has given you that you need is a church family. You need other people to surround you and lift you up and help you carry that burden. And so in just a minute when I pray, I'm going to ask some of you to move. And we've got some people in the front, and Aaron's going to be here at the front. We just want to pray for you, okay? Not going to ask you to write a check. Not going to ask you to say anything. Not going to ask you to do anything weird. No dancing, please. Nothing weird. We will not ask you to do anything. We just want some of you to be free today. Some of you in that stronghold in your mind, it is holding you captive. And we need you to be free. Jesus wants you to be free. He can help you. And we've got people ready to listen and to pray for you. So can we just all pray together? Can we just bow our heads real quick and ask God to help us in this moment? Lord, it's so easy to put on a church face and show up at a place and pretend that everything is good, but on the inside of our brain, there's a battle waging. And it's so easy to be tempted. It's so easy to fall into those negative, toxic thoughts. And Lord, my prayer for this morning and for this series is that we would destroy those strongholds. We would destroy them. One by one by one, we would defeat every lie our enemy has put in our brains and replace them with truth and live as people who are free and alive.